السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آج بھی میں صحابہ کے کچھ واقعات پیش کروں گا.
Tur says that today also I shall present some accounts of the Sahabi, the companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. First of all, I shall relate those accounts in which their steadfastness is demonstrated. Hadrat Mia Abdullah Khan Sahib, who although took the Pledge of Allegiance in the era of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, but he did not see the promised Messiah in person. He relates that in the year when the plague struck the district of Zafarwal, I was appointed a plague clerk and I shifted from Sialkot to Zafarwal. In the morning, Chaudhry Muhammad Hussain Sahib of Talwandi said to me, "Do you believe Hazrat Jesus, peace be upon him, to be alive in the heavens?" I responded from a scientific perspective in the negative. There was no prejudice or bigotry in my mind whatsoever. He then said to me that the promised Messiah, Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian, peace be upon him, has claimed that the Messiah who was destined to come is me, and the Messiah from amongst the children of Israel has passed away. I accepted the promised Messiah as a prophet and immediately wrote to him, pledging my allegiance. Subsequently, I went to Karachi and then Africa for my work. My father was Anon Ahmadi. At the time of my pledging of allegiance, he was not exceptionally opposed to it. However, he was a leading member amongst the Wahhabi of the area. Thus, people incited him that, "Look, your son has become a Mirzai." In 1911, he wrote to me when I was in Africa. That say to Hazrat Sahib, the promised Messiah, in my words, "If you do not do so, then I will deprive you of my properties in inheritance." He says, "At the time, I was a station master at Sultan Mahmud Station in Kenya. For 8 to 10 days, I kept a letter to myself. One night, at Isha prayer, I mentioned this letter to my wife. My wife was entirely illiterate. She stated that when these people are not prepared to accept Hazrat Sahib as the Imam Mahdi, why do they say foul things regarding us? Allah the Almighty has already made arrangements for us. In other words, He has provided for our provisions and livelihood. And thus we have no worries in this light. Therefore write to him that we are not prepared to do this. You can deprive us of your properties if you so please." Thus, he says that I wrote as my wife advised. My father responded, "You are my only son, and you are my heir." What I wrote was as a result of the provocations and incitements of people. He says, I wrote to my father again, but he replied in exactly the same way. When I returned on leave, it was approximately 9 o'clock. My brother, Muhammad Hussein, and my brother, the late Muhammad Ali Sahib, and myself were all exchanging views with my father. The debate was quite heated. My father stated that I know Mirza Sahib from the time when he was working in Sialkot. I would meet him. He is an extremely pious person. I remember that once a Muslim right before me, who was a landlord of Sialkot, who came from a village in the east, and he said to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, Mr. Mirza, I believe that you appear to be that Mahdi who is destined to come. At that time, Mirza Sahib, that is the promised Messiah, was approximately 20 to 22 years old, and I was around the same age. He says, when my father uttered these words, I said to my father, for that Muslim landlord to say all these things regarding the promised Messiah alayhi salam is a proof established by God Almighty for you. However, my father responded, whether Mirza is true, I will not accept him. Upon this, he says, we said istighfar and exited from there. There is another account of Sheikh Abdul Rashid Sahib who narrates. Maulvi Muhammad Ali Bupuri had come to Batala. We were staying in his residence. My parents had evicted me from our home. One day, a person by the name of Mehraldu, who was a friend of my father, had met me. He said that, come along with me. We will speak to Maulvi Muhammad Ali, so we can also come to know what he is trying to explain. In other words, Maulvi Muhammad Ali was a non-Ahmadi. They wanted to go and compete with him in a debate. And what does he actually say? He says, in those days, I was full of zeal and passion. I immediately went alongside him to meet Maulvi Muhammad Ali. When we came before him, Maulvi Sahib started to say, Mehraldu, why have you brought this kafir, this disbeliever, before me? This statement was extremely displeasing to Mehraldu and myself. However, I desired to completely clinch the argument over him. Mehraldu also supported my approach, that Maulvi Sahib would not be able to convince this boy, and thus how would he be able to convince any other Mirzai? If a boy could not comprehend him, then how could anybody else? In any case, that Maulvi started reading the hadith of Kaifa Antum Iza Nazala Fikum, and he began to interpret it in his own way. After he had taken a long period of time, I said, listen to what I have to say also. It is clear from the words of this hadith that it is subject to interpretation. I thus started elucidating it. He became irritated from my explanation. Hazur says that this is a hadith of Bukhari, a hadith of Muslim, a hadith of Musnad Ahmad, narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira. The words of this hadith are, كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا نَزَلَ إِبْنُ مَرْيَمَ فِيكُمْ وَإِمَامَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. And according to some hadith, it is فَأَمَّكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. In other words, what will be your delegate state when the son of Mary, that is the Messiah, will descend, who will be your imam or your leader and from amongst you? And as I stated, there is another narration that because he will be from amongst you, he will carry out the work of being your imam or leader. So thus that Maulvi presented this very hadith. However, he said, you are interpreting this in an incorrect way. I then presented the verses of the Holy Quran, Mal Masih ibn Maryama, Illa Rasul, and then I presented the verse, Wama Muhammadun Illa Rasul. I also presented the hadith, فَأَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الصَّالِحِ. This is also a lengthy hadith. I also explained it in depth and in detail. The Maulvi became extremely worried, and also enraged and full of anger. Addressing Mehraldu, he started saying, did I not say to you that he will not become upright and understand? These Mirzais are extremely harsh and immoral. I am not going to say anything else. Subsequently, Mehraldu became entirely embarrassed. The signs of shame were clearly visible upon him. because this Maulvi was not presenting any acceptable or convincing replies and could not preach to me properly. In any case, we departed from there. Meherildu related the events to my father, that the Maulvi could not explain to Maulvi Muhammad Ali Abdul Rashid properly and convincingly, and instead became enraged. But he is only a boy, he will understand. Hazur says, however, this is a state even today. With the grace of Almighty Allah, the knowledge that even our youth or children have today is more than the knowledge possessed by these Maulvis, and they cannot silence even the children. However, there is no remedy for audaciousness. I remember one incident. Mogadam Saqib Zeri Sahib has written this account, that Ataullah Shah Bukhari Sahib was a Maulvi a few decades ago. Once he was delivering a speech. Coincidentally, I was in the area and heard him. Maulvi Sahib, who was delivering the speech and was a senior scholar, was saying the following, that even if God the Almighty came and told me that Mirza Sahib is true, I would still not accept him. So this is the state of their faith. There is a narration of Ali Muhammad Sahib, who relates the circumstances of Mulana Abu al-Hasan Sahib. He says that he was a scholar of high standing. The message of the promised Messiah alayhi salam spread through him in the entire district of Dera Ghazi Khan. The opponents caused him great harm and suffering, but he remained steadfast absolutely, and he did not care a jot for that opposition. He continued his preaching and continued to endure pain and suffering. Hadrat Hafiz Ghulam Rasool Sahib Wazir Abadi relates that once I was extremely perturbed. Distressed due to opposition, I arrived in Qadian. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, "Why are you so concerned?" I realized from the way of his speech that the promised Messiah alayhi salam desired to help me financially. However, I did not come for this purpose. In other words, this was not the objective for why he had come before the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The purpose was to gain reassurance of the heart and to be satisfied within and to not be perturbed by the opposition. For indeed, being in the company of a prophet provides a strength to a person through the spiritual prowess of the Prophet that he gains from Allah the Almighty. Anyhow, he said, I came to the promised Messiah alayhi salam to strengthen my faith and conviction. He says, a person should not go to an appointed one of Allah to obtain finance. Rather, one should help him by giving him a gift. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, pray for me profusely and counsel me with satisfying and reassuring advice. With the grace of Almighty Allah, not a moment came upon me where I had any doubt or conjecture regarding the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Hadrat Babu Abdul Rahman Sahib states, due to my humble nature and meekness, all my relatives, friends and people within the vicinity and city were pleased with me, and they would praise me. However, immediately after hearing that I had taken the Pledge of Allegiance, all my relatives, apart from my ancestral relatives from one side of the family, because with the grace of Almighty Allah, they all took the Pledge of Allegiance with me. However, all my other friends, the people in my local area, and all the other relatives became enemies of me. Hazur says, and this is exactly how the community of the Prophets are treated. When the Prophets are treated in this way, then naturally so will their followers be. They all become enemies. Those same people who previously would praise them would thereafter become their enemies. They accept that the person is righteous and pious. I have said once before regarding Sheikh Muhammad Ahmed Sahib Mazhar that once I went to a village in Faisalabad. There were some non-Ahmadi sitting there. They started greatly praising Sheikh Sahib. We have never known such a pious, righteous, noble, and a person who takes good cases and truthful lawyer before. However, he has one flaw, that he is a Qadiani. So this is the apparently biggest flaw that these people see. And anyhow, he said they all became my enemies and would inflict me with discomfort and distress. At times they would stop the water supply. Sometimes they would call some Maulvis and tell them to deliver lectures against us. They would incite their relatives and the public against us. One shopkeeper who was a milkman was alongside us. They prevented him from selling us milk. They stopped the laborers from giving us labor, and they also stopped other things. They would counsel people that if anyone passes below the house of an Ahmadi, he will become a disbeliever. However, power lies with God Almighty. Observe how God Almighty obtains retribution. Those very Maulvis who would advise these things would come and eat food in my house. In other words, they would say one thing and act in contradiction. When people saw the deeds of this Maulvi, they became extremely upset. He says, then after taking the Pledge of Allegiance, because we cease praying in congregation behind non-Ahmadi imams, we would either pray individually or we would make an imam from somebody amongst us. Upon this, the people of the area started trying to raise a fight. In order to dispel the disorder, we stopped saying the prayers in congregation behind the imam in the mosque. In fact, we started praying in our own house in congregation. He said, I had obtained this house on rent. However, because they were praying in the house, even the landlord evicted us from there. Then, when I obtained another house on rent, we started praying in congregation there. In this time, he says, for the construction of a mosque, from Musamma Ramzan and Ahmadi, we purchased 3 shops alongside some land. During this time, a Dr. Bisharat Sahib, who was an Ahmadi, was appointed there as a probational assistant surgeon. As a result of Dr. Sahib's coming there, the Jamaat became extremely strengthened and became very active. They would pray the Fajr, Maghrib, and Isha prayers in congregation in the shop, and they would make Dr. Sahib the imam. The shops in question were on the roadside. Fearlessly, he would come to the shop and lead the prayers. He would always be engaged in preaching. And he would say in enthusiasm that my heart desires that I should write in large letters on a cloth that Hazrat Isa Jesus has passed away, and that I should wear this on my chest, on my coat, and I should announce this everywhere that Jesus, peace be upon him, has passed away. Hazrat Shaykh Ataullah Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, states, the approval of the Bayt from Qadian was received through letter alongside some literature which included the newspaper Al-Hakam. In other words, the newspaper was sent alongside the approval letter. We spread this newspaper. This caused a hue and cry amongst the people. After this, we had to face fierce and intense opposition. We would be forcibly dragged and taken to these gatherings. And we would be compelled to repent. And they would try to force us to say that, repent, you are no longer followers of Mirza. In any case, he says that some weak people started slipping and stumbling and could not bear this hardship. They did not possess steadfastness. And this reached a point where Hadrat Hafiz Sufi Tasawwur Hossain Sahib and Sheikh Sadullah Sahib, who was a direct follower of Sufi Sahib, and this humble one were all who remained. All other people, due to the oppression of the opponents and out of fear, apostatized. In other words, apart from these 3 people, all left Ahmadiyyat, they could not endure the hardships. However, these people, they displayed steadfastness and bore all the tribulations. He writes that may Allah the Almighty grant steadfastness to Sufi Sahib. He arrived in Qadian, he had partaken of the blessed company of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and had become illuminated. However, due to God the Almighty's special wisdom, he illuminated me with the unseen. Sufi Sahib had gone to Qadian and seen the promised Messiah alayhi salam. His faith was strengthened. However, I had not yet gone. However, still Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace and blessings upon me and kept my heart illuminated. Through His powerful manifestations, He illuminated my heart. The opposition had no impact upon me. I was not affected due to their persecution. In fact, the more they would oppress and try to frighten, the more with the grace of Almighty Allah did my faith strengthen and gain conviction. I would completely reject their demands for me to repent. and say, what are you trying to make me repent from? There is an account of Mia Abdul Majib Khan Sahib. He states that on one occasion, the opponents held a large gathering in which they raised a great hue and cry and raised great strife. And the only target of the opposition was this humble one, in other words, Mia Abdul Majib Khan Sahib. They made him the target of all their opposition. They started forming all sorts of plans against me. They threatened me with a boycott. They even incited the police against me and would call me as rebellious and treacherous and would provoke the ignorant people against me in such a manner that it became a danger to my life. Being impacted by these circumstances, he mentions his relationship with Allah the Almighty. He said, once I left in the jungle, I faced the Qibla and stood in prayer, and in my own way, started thinking of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and addressed him. That Hazur in this dangerous time help me and guide me and provide the means as such. And I made this supplication and prayer to Allah the Almighty, and I cried and wept and mentioned all my difficulties and hardships, and ultimately Allah the Almighty heard my supplications. Hazur says that I should clarify here that this was not a state of shirk, of setting up partners with God, as those people who go to the saints and prostrate to them, supplicate to them and ask for help from them. In any case, this was his own way of praying. He thought of the promised Messiah alayhi salam in his mind, that may Allah the Almighty save him from the cruelties. Here I am clarifying that he was not asking from the promised Messiah alayhi salam, he was asking from Allah the Almighty. This statement of his, it clarifies that Allah the Almighty helped me, is what he said. He did not say anywhere that the promised Messiah alayhi salam answered his prayers. As normally certain people, they go to the graves of the saints and ascetics and say that such and such person has listened to our prayers and has granted us such and such blessing. However, here Mia Abdul Majib Khan Sahib is saying that Allah the Almighty answered my prayers and supplications. In any case, he says that at night I slept in that concern and anxiety. What do I see in a dream? That the opposition have surrounded my home and they are shouting from all four directions that now let us kill this person. During this time, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, comes before me. He grabs my arms with his blessed hands and turns my head towards the heavens and states that fly towards the heavens. Subsequently, the spiritual prowess of the promised Messiah alayhi salam helped a weak person like me, and thus I started flying towards the heavens. The opponents were astonished in their failure and at what happened. After that, I woke up in jubilation and I became completely firm in conviction that most certainly the promised Messiah is a truthful and righteous person of God Almighty. Subsequently, on the next morning, once again the opposition gathered my home and I said to them clearly, God Almighty, through the manifestation of His power, has given me such strength that even if you cut my body in pieces with swords, this mind and this mouth cannot turn away from the truth. He says, on the second night I once again see in a dream that the police have surrounded my home. So this enmity did not end. On a daily basis there were meetings and gatherings held against him. So he says that the police say that perhaps this person escaped from the public, but because he has spread disorder, thus now the government will suppress this person through its powers, and if he does not stop, then we will kill him. I was very perturbed by this threat of attack from the police and the surrounding of the home that is in the dream. Suddenly, however, he says, just like in the dream last night, the promised Messiah alayhi salam came before me. And in the same way, he grabbed both my arms in his blessed hands, and he moved my head towards the heaven and said, that fly towards the heavens. Subsequently, like yesterday, I flew off the earth and onto the heavens, and I was safe from the intrigues of the police. Thus, through both dreams, my faith became firm like the rocks of a mountain. And the truthfulness of the promised Messiah alayhi salam became entrenched in my heart to such an extent that nothing could break me or cause me to move away. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. He says, now there is a zeal and passion and desire in the heart to meet this chosen one of God. At that time, he had not yet met the promised Messiah. He says, subsequently, I wrote to the promised Messiah, and the promised Messiah replied to me that Mia Abdul Majib, come immediately to Qadian. Thus, this is also a manner in which Allah the Almighty strengthens the faith. Allah the Almighty also develops a state in many people, and this is demonstrated in the many letters that are sent. This is an account of Hadrat Amir Khan Sahib. He relates his own account, that after taking the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance, when I departed Qadian back to my village, Ahrana, then Musamma Mehtab Khan, who was a senior member, and who thought very highly of himself, and due to being able to read and write to just a small degree, was quite arrogant. In other words, he was educated only to a low level. Yet, he claimed to know everything, and he considered himself to be an expert in all fields. He became bent on my opposition, and exceeded all bounds in profane language against me. Yet I adopted patience. Ultimately, plague broke out in his family, and it caused such devastation that his sister-in-law, his daughter-in-law, and his young son, all of them, within a few days, fell victim to the plague. There was no one left to cook the meals. He would go to one of his daughters, who was married in a nearby village, to eat his daily bread. However, to have to eat food in the in-laws or in the house of the in-laws of the daughters was equivalent to death for him. At that time, Mehtab Khan Sahib was just over 60 years old. And he only had a small amount of land or property at the time, which is equivalent to just under 1 acre. One day in the morning after the Fajr prayer, I was reciting the Holy Quran in the mosque when he came to me. He said, look at my state. He raised his hand towards the Kaaba and he said, I have no enmity with Mirza Sahib. Yazoo says, only when he felt that dire state did he realize and start to consider. These are but a few examples displaying the steadfastness of the companions of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The Jamaat that Allah the Almighty granted the promised Messiah alayhi salam, which in steadfastness and resolve even today is displaying exemplary models. I receive many letters, many people meet me, and they narrate their own incidents. Where there are men who display their exemplary models, there are also women. Thus, the passionate spirit that was infused in the companions due to the spiritual prowess of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, it has been kept alive even today by God the Exalted. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of those companions who accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salam and displayed steadfastness and resolve. May Allah the Almighty also grant steadfastness to their progeny. May also those who have joined the Jamaat and also the future people who will join the Jamaat be granted strength of faith and steadfastness by Allah the Almighty. Aside from steadfastness, there are also some other accounts that I shall present, in which God the Almighty has miraculously protected and safeguarded the companions of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Thus, this displays Allah the Almighty's special treatment with them. Most certainly, such accounts will be a means of strengthening and enhancing our faith. Hazrat Mirza Barakat Ali Sahib relates, this humble self in the earthquake of 4th April 1905, was buried in Ir Dharamsala in district Kangra, under a house. With great difficulty I was taken out. Babu Gulab Deen Sahib was an eyewitness account on that occasion, who was an overseer pensioner. In those days he was working there as a sub-divisional officer. Today he is alive in Sialkot. 1 or 2 months before this incident, when the promised Messiah alayhi salam, peace be upon him, had given a great prophecy regarding this earthquake. In other words, the promised Messiah, al-Islam, had prophesied this earthquake a few months previously. He says this humble one was present in Qadian, Darul Aman, when the promised Messiah, al-Islam, had announced this prophecy. I took the published pamphlets of the promised Messiah, al-Islam, in this regard and came to Dharamsala Choni. I distributed those leaflets to many a people. Because I was working there as a clerk, and I had the opportunity to work in part-time employment, therefore, from time to time, I would go to meet the Ahmadi Mirza Rahim Beg Sahib. Mirza Sahib belonged to a large family of the Moghaliya brotherly. His other brother was not an Ahmadi. Only his wife and children were Ahmadi with him. All his family members and other people were fiercely opposed to him. However, those who became Ahmadi, all of them remained safe. And other Ahmadis also, who had reached there from different places, and now who lived there. He says that every single one of them was saved from the destruction of this earthquake. Whereas he says that in my view, the estimate of the death toll was that 90% of people in that area died as a result of the earthquake. For all Ahmadis to survive in such a massive earthquake is a magnificent sign. If I write the explanation of all of this, then most certainly every seeker of truth and every seeker of Allah the Almighty will understand that the help and succor of Allah is with Ahmadis. In other words, he who wants to recognize the truth will hear the incident of this earthquake and will realize and comprehend that most certainly Allah the Almighty supports Ahmadis. Because my family and Khan Sahib's family and Mistry Ala Beg Sahib of Sialkot's family and Ghulam Muhammad Mistry and also other Ahmadis, regarding all of them surviving this earthquake, the natural situations that came to light, regarding each and every person, an independent and individual sign is manifested, particularly for Mistry Ala Beg Sahib to suddenly move away from that area a few days before, and for all of us to move away from that place just a few days before, and for numerous Ahmadis to come outside the shops just before the earthquake, and for numerous people after having been buried in the earthquake to come out in amazing ways are all signs. It is my intention to write a detailed article and to print this in a magazine. But anyhow, I mention just a few details here which relate to the meeting with the promised Messiah on whom be peace. A few days after this earthquake occurred, when this humble one went to Qadian and came before the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Then in those days the promised Messiah alayhi salam was sitting under the shade of the mango tree in a tent. He would stay in a tent in those days. When this humble one met the promised Messiah on whom be peace, he inquired for me numerous things. How did you survive when you were buried underneath the house? I said to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that the sheet of Mistry Ala Beg Sahib saved me. It kept the wall above me and did not allow it to put too much pressure upon me. In the same way, the promised Messiah alayhi salam inquired about some other Ahmadis. I gave witness that they were all safe. Whereas the promised Messiah alayhi salam had previously already published an announcement that not a single person has died from this earthquake. I believe certainly that Allah the Almighty already informed the promised Messiah alayhi salam regarding this. For before me, no Ahmadi from Dharamsala had come to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. No Ahmadi had come from there. The narrator of this account was the first person who had come from that area. The promised Messiah alayhi salam heard all the details from him. However, the announcement that the promised Messiah alayhi salam had already published that no Ahmadi has been caused any harm from this earthquake, he had already published this announcement. When I met the promised Messiah alayhi salam after the Kangra earthquake, the promised Messiah alayhi salam mentioned this as a sign. Especially for me to be survived after being buried in the earthquake is also a sign. This has been announced in writing. Congratulations to those who were eyewitness to this and who believe in the chosen one of Allah the Almighty. Hadhrat Chaudhry Abdul Hakim Sahib narrates that coincidentally, I met from Maulvi Badruddin Ahmadi Sahib, who was the primary school headmaster of a school in the city. He gave me the newspaper Al-Hakam to read. I remember that in the first page of the newspaper Al-Hakam was fresh revelation and also the blessed words of the Imam of the time. Thus, there would be two headings. One, new revelation, and secondly, blessed words of the Imam of the time. These were the topics on the first page. He says, I would read these. It gave me such an attraction in my heart that I should promptly and immediately reach the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, that I should attain the blessings of Allah the Almighty. And despite the incitements and the provocation of the Maulvis of the Ahli Hadith, in just a short time I accepted. Maulvi Badruddin Sahib advised me to immediately go to Qadian. Another Maulvi of the Ahli Hadith became prepared to go with me, who was a student of Sultan Mahmud Sahib of the Ahli Hadith. He writes, at that time I was earning 15 rupees and I was in poverty. I took leave from my work because I did not have the right for a railway pass. I purchased a ticket up to Amritsar because we did not have sufficient funds to reach Qadian. At Amritsar, our ticket came to an end. We were to board the Batala train. However, we only had 8 ana. Thus, we purchased tickets of 2 ana to Virke. We boarded the train. At the Virke station, when the train arrived, our ticket came to an end. However, we did not exit the train and the train moved on. When the train was going in between the two stations, a rail worker came to check the tickets, and he started checking the tickets of all the passengers. Because our ticket was of the previous station, and we did not have the money to buy the ticket, we were extremely perturbed that we would be completely disgraced. Apart from holding on to the mantle of Allah the Almighty, there was nothing left for us. We both prayed to God the Almighty together, that we are going to meet your true Messiah. We have nothing with us. For the sake of the Messiah, who is your beloved one, cover our faults and save us from disgrace. Allah the Almighty accepted our prayer. When the rail worker inquired for our ticket, we gave him the ticket of the previous station. I remember vividly that he looked at that ticket closely and gave it back to us and did not say anything and went into the other carriage. So this was a miracle for us, that for the sake of Allah the Almighty's beloved Messiah, he covered our faults and saved us from disgrace. And this incident proved to be a means of our strengthening of faith. The truthfulness of the promised Messiah alayhi salam became as clear as the sun. From Batala, we set off on foot to Qadian, and at the time of Zohar, we reached Qadian Darul Aman. Hadhrat Aladita Sahib, a headmaster, states that extraordinarily, Allah the Almighty has saved me from thousands of life-threatening situations and tribulations. I caught snakes, the snakes came upon me, and snakes came over me, but Allah the Almighty protected me in every direction. Hazrat Master Adave Khan Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates, this is an incident of Amritsar that once the plague broke out fiercely. I came back home from school. My wife was standing at the door. I inquired that what is the matter. She replied that there are dead mice inside and expressed concern. I said with certainty that do not worry, our Jamaat will be safe from the plague and there is no worry. After that, with a straw-like broom, I cleaned the house. On the second day, this occurred again, and alongside the mice there were many insects. Once again, I cleaned them. I reassured my wife that do not worry, our Jamaat will be safe from this. After the third or fourth day, at 12 o'clock at night, my wife said to me, I have developed swelling as a result of the plague. With reassurance and great certainty, I said, do not fret. I will write to the promised Messiah alayhi salam for prayers first thing in the morning. Subsequently, I wrote in the morning. I think that the letter had not even yet reached Qadian when the swelling came to an end, and my wife returned to completely good health. Similarly, on the second or third day, my son Abdul Karim, who is around 1 year, he also started to develop swelling. Once again, I wrote for prayers to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and I started reassuring greatly my household people. Subsequently, that swelling also came to an end. In those days, the plague was so intense that on a daily basis, 200 to 250 people died from this plague, and these numbers were mentioned daily by the committee people. Regarding this, I should clarify that when the plague spread, the promised Messiah alayhi salam also issued some guidance. This guidance may not have reached these people, or perhaps they did not understand it properly, whereas the companions always tried to immediately implement any instructions. In any case, in those circumstances, whatever guidance was received, whether this incident was before or after, this is a sign of the strength of their faith. Allah the Almighty not only enhanced his faith, but also that of his wife and children. However, the guidance given by the promised Messiah alayhi salam at the time was as follows. That is, when the plague has spread everywhere. In one place, he says, it is our instruction that it is better that the people of Lahore should announce that in the house where mice have died and the disease is at hand should immediately leave their homes. These people perhaps misunderstood that this was only for Lahore. In any case, this is the guidance. Whenever there are epidemics or diseases, one should try to protect himself and save himself from it. So the promised Messiah says, in this incident, you should immediately leave your home and go to a house outside the city. This is the instruction of Allah the Almighty. Apparent provision should be taken. It is forbidden to stay in crowded and dirty houses anyhow, whether there is a plague or not. And everyone should save themselves from uncleanliness and impurity. Your clothes should be clean, the area should be clean, and your body should be kept clean. These are essential matters. You should remain engrossed in prayers and istighfar, seeking forgiveness. Further, he says, in the time of Hadrat Umar, the plague broke out. Where the Muslim army went, there was an intense plague. When this news reached Hadrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hadrat Umar, he sent an instruction that immediately leave this place and go on an elevated hill or mountain. Subsequently, the army was safe from that. At that time, one person raised an objection. Are you running away from the decree of Allah the Almighty? He responded that I run from one decree to another decree of God Almighty. And in any case, which act is outside the decree of Allah the Almighty? Hazur says, this is a general guidance. It is not that you should purposely put yourself into difficulty. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam also said that God the Almighty has made two promises to me. Through his revelation, God has made two promises to me, that he shall keep safe the people who live in this home, as he has said, Inni uhafizu kulla man fid dar, that I shall protect whoever is in the four walls of your home. The second promise is regarding this Jamaat. Inna lazina amanu walam jalbisu imanuhum bizulmin, ulaika lahumul amnu wahum muhtadun, that those who have believed and have not mixed wrongdoing with that. For such people is peace and tranquility, and they are the rightly guided. In this is a promise from Allah the Almighty that those people of the community will be saved, who will follow our teachings and guidance completely, and will dispel their internal blemishes of the sin and impurity, and will not be inclined towards their self-ego. Many people come here to do the bed and then set off, but they do not rectify their actions. What can happen by just putting your hand upon another hand? Allah the Almighty is aware of the state of the hearts. Thus, these are the two promises to Allah the Almighty. In order to save yourself from every trouble, from every difficulty, from every adversity, we need to always look at our own state. To what extent are we trying to perfect our faith? Hazrat Maulvi Sofi Ata Muhammad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates, now it was difficult for me to meet the promised Messiah on whom be peace. In other words, in the circumstances he was in, it was difficult for him to meet him because he did not obtain a leave. Coincidentally, I read in the newspaper that the promised Messiah is coming to Jhelum. However, I could not even obtain leave to go to Jhelum, but I was extremely restless and helpless. I said to my family at home that tomorrow is Sunday, the promised Messiah has come to Jhelum. Do not tell anyone, I shall go there. The time for the train coming was extremely short. The station was 3 miles away. It was a mountainous route and it was night time. It was difficult even in the daytime to walk on that path. I put my trust in God and set off. Coincidentally, there was a light that was lit right before me all the way along. Perhaps there was a person going somewhere else. I ran along that mountainous path. When I reached the station, the train was ready to depart. I obtained my ticket, and finally, I had the opportunity to meet the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Hazrat Maulana Ghulam Rasool Sahib Rajiki relays that at the time I was very young, when I saw a dream, there is an elephant which I am crushed under. The stomach's elephant is upon me. In the morning, Abdul Majib Khan Sahib stated that Mulvi Sahib, there is a storm in the river. We are going to ride on the elephants to see the storms in the river Biyaz. Indeed, come with us also. I stated that I cannot come with you. The reason for this is that tonight I saw a very terrifying dream. In the dream, I am crushed under an elephant. Despite this, they kept on insisting for him to go, and I would repeatedly reject their insistence. Because there was a terrifying impact upon my heart of the dream. When I heard from Khan Sahib that we are going to the river upon elephant back, just hearing the word elephant had a terrifying impact upon me. I then rejected it outright and decided not to go. Then other friends decided to join Khan Sahib and started insisting to me. After repeated persistence, I finally decided that perhaps this is a decree of Allah the Almighty. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. Then I got prepared to go with them. They prepared several elephants. There were either three or four elephants upon which the friends rode upon. Khan Sahib also took me along with him upon one of the elephants. When we reached the river, although the divine decree did not mean for the elephants literally to be fulfilling the dream, however, another means fulfilled the dream, that when we came off the elephants, when we were looking at the river and the storm, we saw a youngster. During this storm, under the bridge which had many passages, he was jumping from up top the bridge. And then he would pass through below the bridge and come out the other side. I knew swimming somewhat and I said, "Brother, you pass through the passage on the near side. It would really be something if you pass through one of the further passages." He said, "The storm is quite fierce and therefore it is very difficult to emerge from one of the further passages." I said that if you know swimming, then what is the need to fear? He said, "Do you know swimming?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Then you show me how you can pass through that further passage." I said, "Indeed." I became prepared and jumped with the intention to go from the further passage. The first time he emerged from one of the underneath arches. However, the second time he jumped, he tried to jump from a further point to go to a further passage. He said, "By chance, from where I jumped from the bridge, I went straight into a vortex, a whirlpool. I fell and became trapped into this. I tried everything to escape from it, but to no avail. Ultimately, to some time, I became submerged under the extremely strong currents, and it appeared impossible to get out of this whirlpool. All my energy was depleted, and I felt as if I was going to perish in just 1 or 2 minutes, and my life would come to an end. At that time, all my friends were watching this from atop the bridge, and they started clamoring that it is awful that Maulvi Sahib is trapped in there. At that time, something extremely strange, and a decree of Allah the Almighty, that despite all their friends clamoring and raising a hue and cry that I was drowning, they could not consider that if they just took off their turban and threw it in my direction, I could have grabbed one side of the turban and found a means of being saved. But nobody thought of this. My state was so dire that I was completely frustrated, as if my life was going to an end. I felt there were just a few moments left, and I am taking my last breath. In this time, the divine providence changed the scene. And by virtue of the blessing of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, under whose instruction I had traveled to Kapurthala. A great and new manifestation of the Divine appeared to save me. And this came to pass as follows, that whilst I was at the mercy of the whirlpool, emerging, submerging, sometimes being tossed here and there, etc., and I had no control whatsoever over all of this, at that time it seemed as if the water had complete control over me. When suddenly a very amazing and strong hand threw me out of that whirlpool, it threw me with such force that I fell to one side of the river, and a tree that had fallen into the river, the branch of it came into my hand merely due to the divine decree. I took the support of the branch and stayed there for a long time quietly. Then, due to the sheer grace of God alone, I reached the riverbank safely. At that time, the dream and its fulfillment came before my eyes, and then I realized that according to the divine decree, being crushed under an elephant in the dream can materialize in another kind of calamity. Although we had reached the river upon elephant back, however, instead of the elephant, the river took its place. Secondly, I realized, for me to be saved from the whirlpool was by virtue of the blessings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, because I had come there under his instructions to carry out service of the Jamaat, to carry out the work of preaching. As a result of this, I was saved from the destruction. Otherwise, the situation was entirely hopeless. Thus, these incidents highlight the state of the faith of the companions of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and their high level of belief and faith in him. As Hazrat Maulvi Sahib has narrated, if it was any person of the world, then he would consider this to be a coincidence in the way he was saved. However, Hazrat Maulvi Sahib considered his travelling for the sake of the faith and the prayers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to be the means of his safety. Thus, this is a state of the faith that should be developed in all of us. May Allah the Almighty enable us to achieve this.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.